on what we're doing. The scripture says, you know, church folks, they say, oh, for every level, there's another devil. You know how they say that? Well, let me tell you, for every level, there's another angel. For every level, and I want to say another, there's a bunch of angels. So as we go from glory to glory and faith to faith, as we walk in these realms of ridiculous faith and accept the invitation, then more hosts are assigned to us as we accept the invitation. Because some of those hosts and angels are invitation and assignment specific, meaning that when you say yes, they say, okay, good, I'm good, we got you. But if you don't say yes, then they won't partner with you in that endeavor. You guys understand that? Okay, so in Matthew 25, you know, this was Jesus talking about the parable of the talents. And while this is talking about money as an example, and it does involve money because it talks about the stewardship of it, the principle of faithfulness and utilizing what God has given us is transferable to other scenarios and other situations. So in verse 28, I'm not going to read the whole parable. I just want to highlight this one thing because I want you to be conscious of the fact that hosts are assigned to you and God expects us to give them something to do. So in Matthew 25, verse 28, from the New American Standard, it says, therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Now, he was talking about the one who didn't do anything with his talent. He hid it in the ground. And they were saying, look, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and I'd have got it back with interest? And so the one who didn't do anything with his talent, it says, take it from him, give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. So it's highlighting the principle that we have to be faithful and consistent in our stewardship of everything God has given us. And we have to use what he has placed in our hands and in our possession for his glory. So we not only have to use the spiritual gifts he has given us, we have to use the natural skill set and gifts that he has allowed us to develop. And then we also have to use the angelic gifts that he has given us. You guys see that? So, and as we see an increase in angelic activity, I want to give you this caution. It's important to discern the difference between an angel of God and a demonic spirit. And so that's a teaching all by itself, but I'm going to just give you the quick tip. In 1 John 4, verse 1, it says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Notice the correlation between false prophets being in the world and deceptive spirits being out. So these false prophets are releasing deceptive spirits or working in concert with deceptive spirits. It is Satan's way of imitating the way we as kingdom ambassadors work in concert with angelic spirits. Now, it says, by this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit, say every spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So any spiritual being that appears or tries to talk or give a revelation or say that they were sent from God should say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and has come in flesh. Before you say anything or receive anything from this spirit, you should ask this question. Because demonic spirits can't say it. Now, I'm giving you, now this, that is a whole different teaching, but I'm giving you that so that you can be aware, because we are in this time of increased angelic activity, and we are in this time where the kingdom of God is becoming more of reality, and is more than just people preaching about it and talking about it. It's about us in the marketplace and in the places God has assigned us, seeing the supernatural and demonstrating the supernatural. Can you say amen to that? Now, part of that is to partner with the angelic realm. God did not stop using angels when the Holy Spirit came upon the earth, which is what a lot of people think. Now, I just did a quick word search. In the New American Standard Bible, the word angel is used in the Old Testament 107 times. In the New Testament, 176 times. So, clearly, God is still using angels. And only 71 of those times were in the book of Revelations. Because a lot of people think, well, you know, the book of Revelations talk a lot about the angelics. Yeah, they do. But only 71 of those times. The majority of the time the word angel was used was in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Now think about that. The book of Acts describes the acts of Holy Spirit through the first apostles. There was angelic partnership. Angels were mentioned 71 times. In the King James, the word angel was used 108 times. In the Old Testament, 175 times in the New Testament. So clearly, we have unseen partners that are helping us advance the kingdom of God in the places he has assigned us. It's important to understand places where he has assigned us, because a lot of people don't equate ministry with marketplace. And a lot of people think, and even in the marketplace, there are some believers that think that there are two different marketplaces. They're like, oh, there's a kingdom marketplace and then a secular marketplace. No, there is one marketplace that God has called us to be in and to dominate and to build the king and represent the kingdom of God in it. Just like you don't go to, well, some people got two jobs, but you don't go to a kingdom job and then a secular job. You go to the one job where God has equipped you to demonstrate the kingdom and to use the gifts of the Spirit to minister to the people in a non-religious way so that they can recognize that God is real and what you are saying is so true. How could you know that except by the Spirit of God? Instead of giving a tract, just give a word. And sometimes you don't even have to lay hands on somebody. You can just give them a dap and watch them get healed. It don't have to be super complicated. That's why Paul and them was just like giving out handkerchiefs and all of that. But you have to believe that that's going to happen through you. Because he said the signs and wonders follow those who believe. How many believers do I have in the house? Say amen. Amen. Now, if you online, just put a clap or a fire emoji up in there to say I'm a believer too. Hallelujah. In fact, I'm about to look. I'm about to be real, real, real different today. I'm about to look and see who putting fire emojis up in there. Hallelujah. And so let's look at Genesis 24. I'm going to give you a couple of verses. And it's so funny that God had me focus on the assignment of the host of heaven guarding and giving protection. Because I was, you know, I was studying, and you know, I was supposed to teach this last month. And it was going in a totally different direction. Then this thing started shifting. I was like, okay, God, do what you do. Say what you say. So in Genesis 24, verse 40, it says this. Abraham was talking to his servant and asking his servant to go back to his homeland to find a wife for his son Isaac. But then and look, don't stay there and don't take Isaac there, but you go find this woman so to bring her back, because I don't want my son to marry someone, someone in this foreign land. And so he's having this discussion, and this is what Abraham said. He said to me, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Now, key in on this. He said, the angel, he will send his angel with you, say with you, to make your journey successful. Hallelujah. Let's look at Exodus 23, verse 20. Exodus 23, verse 20. Now, we just read, if God would send an angel with a dude to go to a foreign land to find a wife to make sure his journey is successful, you know God is going to send an angel with you on your assignment to make what you do be successful. And I just want to say to the single folks, I don't know why I hear this prompting, so stop worrying about your spouse or your future spouse. There's an angel on assignment to get you connected to the right person. So you don't have to go to the club. Even though you don't go, talking about, I don't go to the club anyway, but I'm going to just go out and I'm going to just drink a Sprite. You don't have to wonder where you have to go to meet people. Talking about, well, I don't do anything. So where I'm going to meet people? I don't do this. I don't do that. Then somebody's walking around with their angel. Talking about, is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? All right, so Exodus 23, verse 20. It says, this is what God was saying to Moses. He said, behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to do what? He says, to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. What is the angel's assignment? To guard us and bring us into the place God has prepared for us. That place was their promised land. Their promised land for them was economic freedom, physical freedom. You know how a lot of people say, well, I want to start my business because I want freedom, time freedom, be able to do all the things I want to do. That was their promised land. And he said that there was an angel that was going to guard them and get them to that place. So the place that God has for you in your life is the place where the angels are assigned to take you and to guard you as you go. That's why you don't have to worry about anyone trying to hurt you. You don't have to be scared of a demonic attack, because those spirits can't touch you because you have the host of heaven with you. And then if there are any open doors, just ask Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, then close them and then eject those demonic spirits. Now, one of the things that I didn't get his disclaimer at the beginning, but I give it now. I'm just going to tell you that it would be really easy for me to pray and ask God to give me a word to talk about, you know, what people are going through right now, because I'm not insensitive to what's going on in the world, you know, to talk about gas shortages and gas prices and all of this other stuff. But I got to preach the word, and I got to preach what he tell me to teach. And one of the things I recognize is, of course, when you have physical needs, it's hard to focus on walking in purpose and destiny. I get that. I don't ignore that reality. In fact, in education and in business, they talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and they talk about how, you know, walking in purpose or self-fulfillment is at the top, but at the bottom is food, clothing, shelter, safety, security, and it just keeps going up. But I'm going to tell you, in the kingdom, it's a little flipped. Because in Matthew 6, he says, seek the kingdom first, and all those things will be added. And so I'm just telling you, I'm conscious of your reality, but I have to teach you about the spiritual, supernatural aspects of what's going on, because once you get alignment with the kingdom, then he will help you figure out that other stuff. And really, he doesn't have to help you figure it out. It's already worked out. He'll just help you get into alignment with the solution he has already given you. One of the things I was telling some educators, that it's time out for building without God. Because the scripture says, unless the Lord builds a house, then you labor in vain. Some of you have been laboring in vain because you have not sought the Lord and have not aligned yourself with the kingdom. And then when you did seek the Lord, you kept tensing up and stressing out like you're trying to push something out to make yourself hear the revelation instead of just resting. So I'm going to tell you, take a rest right now in the name of Jesus. Every problem that you are confronting, God already knew before you were born. And so he has the solution. You just have to keep yourself in a place of faith and recognize that I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. And every time stuff tries to pressure you, you got to say, get off me. Because if you focus on the natural, then you will miss the supernatural. And you'll be asking God for a miracle, and he's trying to tell you, son, daughter, I want you to do the miracles. Just like I said last time, oh, I feel myself preaching, oh my God. Just like last time I told you about Daniel, he was fasting because revelation was being blocked instead of recognizing he needed to take authority. A lot of people are fasting and asking God for stuff because it seems like there's a blockage on something, when we just need to recognize there's a demonic something trying to block, and I need to release my host because there's a spiritual warfare going on over this revelation. Because revelation brings possession. Possession brings increase. Increase brings demonstration of the glory of God. Hallelujah. My God. So in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, he says, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place I have prepared. He said, and then skipping down to verse 23, he says, my angel will go before you and bring you into the land. But before that, before verse 23, he said, make sure you listen when the angel gives you instructions. Now, we know Holy Spirit is giving instructions, but there may be times where an angel comes with the message from God, and you got to listen. That's what happened to Lot's wife. She didn't listen because the angel said, look, get up out of here and don't look back. She looked back and turned into salt. I believe, now I know God might not be destroying cities right now, but I believe that there are going to be some times where some pertinent information is going to be given, and we just have to respond swiftly in obedience. Without second guessing. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6. You know what? Never mind. Let's not go there, because I just looked at my timer. Let's not go there. Next time, we'll look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and Psalms 34 and Matthew 26. No, I'm messing with y'all. But yeah, those are in my notes. We'll dig deep into that later. Let's go to Acts 12. Acts 12, verse 1. I want to show you this point. The natural plans of people can be disrupted and stopped by the actions of the host of heaven that are assigned to you by God. We see that with Jesus, and we're about to see it here with Peter. We saw that with Jesus in Matthew 26 when Judas betrayed Jesus. You know, Peter was the one who was cutting off folks' ears, and Jesus was like, hold up. We ain't about that life today. And then he heals it back, put it back and heals him. But notice, when you look at that in the scripture, it was like a large crowd of people with weapons coming for Jesus. So they came to try to hurt him. And after Peter cuts off their ear, Jesus heals it. Jesus says this. He says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once, meaning immediately, put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus said that I could immediately ask the Father and more than 12 legions of angels would come in that moment. Not like I got to fast for 40 days for them to arrive. I don't have to travail before the Lord for them to come. I don't have to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, with your angels." It doesn't have to be that dramatic. It's just, look, I asked the Father, "Father, send me some host." Boom. He says immediately. Now, the Message Bible says that this way. "Don't you realize that I am able right now to call my Father in 12 companies, more if I want them, of fighting angels will be here battle ready." And then he said, "But if I did that, then the scripture wouldn't be fulfilled because it has to happen this way." Meaning that I could call them, they will immediately come and be battle ready, and what people tried to do or want to do wouldn't happen. So let's look at that in Acts 12. Acts 12, verse 1. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread when he had seized them. He put him in prison, delivering him to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people." Now you see, this dude kills one of the apostles, and he saw that other folks were cheering it on, the silent or the loud minority. They're cheering on the fact that an apostle was just killed by the sword. And now this guy who's a people-pleasing leader says, "Okay, they like that. I'm going to go kill me another one." So now he arrests Peter, is going to do the same thing. See, don't be surprised when governmental leaders do something different than what they said because they bow to the will of the people versus the will of God. An insecure leader will always try to please people versus influencing people. Leadership is influencing people to take action. Insecure leaders don't influence people. They are influenced by people. They do what people say. They jump through hoops to make people like them because they're insecure and not secure in themselves or the calling that's upon their lives. And so when you're dealing with an insecure leader, you got to recognize that it's a spiritual thing. It's a demonic spirit perverting that insecurity. So now you got to pray against the spirit and you got to pray for healing from insecurity. So for all of y'all who are dealing with challenges at your job, when the Bible says pray for those in authority, before you pray for them to be blessed, pray for them to be delivered. Deal with that demonic principality first. Send your angels, your host, to deal with the demonic principality, and then pray for Holy Spirit to release his love and to heal any areas within their soul so that they can be transformed. Then after they get transformed, say, "Bless them, God. I don't want somebody mistreating me to be successful in their mistreating of me, so I'm not going to pronounce the blessing on them. I'm going to pronounce deliverance on them." So, I mean, the Bible said pray for them, but you know, I have to be wise in how I pray. A lot of people took that to mean just to pray the blessing on them. So he did this, and it says, verse 4, when they seized him, they put him in prison. They deliver him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to, after the Passover, to bring him out before the people. Verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer, say prayer, for him was being made fervently by the church of God. Now it says, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guarded in front of the door. Guarded in front of the door. People were watching the prison. So he's asleep. He has two chains on him. There are two guards on either side, and then there are guards outside the door. So there's no way in the natural he could escape. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. Say, suddenly. And a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. Now, what if Peter had been like, who are you? So he recognized that this thing is happening. And so the angel said, get up quickly. So he got up quickly. The chains fell off. And then the angel told him, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And it says, and he did so. He cooperated. And then it says, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, or he thought he was seeing a vision. Sometimes these supernatural experiences, you can't tell. You be like, is this real or not? Because it's beyond your natural understanding. So Peter was like, am I dreaming this? Is this a vision of me being delivered, or am I actually being delivered? The good thing is you don't have to figure it out in the moment. Because it says, when they passed by the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. Selah. You just walk to a door that's not an automatic door, and it just by itself. It says, they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Can you just believe that God has rescued you from things that from the negative expectation of people? Can you believe that God has delivered you from the negative expectation of people, that people were maybe plotting and planning against you, but the angel, the host of heaven, intervened and those plans and plots didn't happen? Some of them you didn't even have to know about, because God just handled that without even bringing it to your attention. Now, as we walk in this place of advancing the kingdom, people will come against us. Opposition is part of the territory, because we're taking territory. But you have to know that the plots and schemes of the enemy that may manifest through people won't work. Because you have host of heaven assigned that a shift and block every plan and thwart every plan. Now, my time is up, so I'm going to tell you how to activate them. We activate the host of heaven by giving voice to God's word with our words. Our words establish and enforce decrees that provide marching orders and mobilize the army of heaven. You have authority over demon spirits, but you also have authority and rank in the kingdom of God. And your authority and rank gives you the ability to give orders to the host of heaven. Now, in Psalms 103:19, it says this. And I want to break this down really quick, because there's a difference between an angel and a host. And so you have to know who you're talking to when you're sending them on assignment. It says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. Psalm 103, verse 19. And I'm reading this from the King James. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. They not only obey God's voice when he speaks it, but notice this says obey the voice of his word. We give voice to God's word in the earth. We give voice to God's word in the earth. So when you decree the scripture over your life, it causes the host to move. And it causes the other angels that are not fighting angels to move as well. Jacob said he saw angels ascending and descending. Notice the order. They were ascending and then descending. We know angels ultimately came from heaven, but it shows that they were doing something in the earth, and then they mobilized and went to heaven to get something, and then came right back. Now, the angels don't need to go get nothing for themselves. They go get stuff for us. Because everything we need, it says, the scripture says, is supplied according to his riches in glory. And so they ascend to the glory realm and get what we need and bring it back to the earth. And then our faith attaches to it and causes it to become a physical thing that takes up time, space, and matter. Now, in verse 21, it says, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him doing his will. Notice the difference. One verse said angels, the other verse said hosts. The host, when you look at that word host, it is the fighting angels. So the hosts refer to the army of God. Now, the heavenly army of God, they don't fight in heaven. They fight in the earth. There's nobody to fight in heaven. There was one smidget altercation one time, and that was over so quick, Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. I mean, Jesus didn't even have to do nothing. He was like, I was watching, and it happened so fast, it felt like lightning. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Him and all his boys, it was only a third of them. The host fighting the earth. I remember one time I had an open vision of an angelic battle one time. So it was like 2 years ago now. I was taking my dog out and, you know, I'm outside with this 60-pound majestic looking pit bull. And I'm outside trying to get him to use the bathroom. You know how you take a dog out and they whine like they have to go out immediately. And then when you get them outside, they take 10 minutes to actually go. It's like, dude, come on. And it was late at night and there was like a lightning storm. And so I'm looking up and I'm seeing a flash of lightning. And I'm sitting, my mind immediately went to Revelation, which talks about thunderings and lightnings come from the throne. And I'm just staring up at it like, wow, this is cool. You know, just kind of just basking in it, just thinking about God and, imagining the throne room and the lightnings that come from his throne. And I'm just having a moment because he was taking a long time anyway. So I'm just having a moment. And then I saw a lightning flash and it looked like I could see the figure of an angel in a posture like this, like they were punching. And then next time it flashed, I saw something else. And I saw multiple, boom, boom, boom. Every time it flashed, I saw multiple angels, like, in fighting stances like that. Now, I know they weren't posing. So there was an actual, and I'm like, ooh, there's an actual battle going on right now. What people are calling a lightning storm is actually somebody's getting whooped up, and it ain't the host. I was like, oh my God, you know, so I'm sitting there like, oh man. And then I tried to film it on my phone, but couldn't capture it. I was like, man, Jesus, thank you, Lord. I was like, thank you for my host whooping up somebody on my behalf and causing the kingdom to be manifested. And even if it wasn't for me, for whoever it was, thank you, Jesus, that you won the victory and those angels was dropping them bowls. I was like, glory to God. Can you show that picture, Pastor Deborah? Now, I've caught some pictures of hosts in the clouds and everything else. And I was trying to pull them up on my phone. And I couldn't get it to look just right. Because I wouldn't be able to zoom in for you to see the angels that I've captured. But the other day I was on YouTube in some kind of way, the Tampa news station comes up in my YouTube feed. I'm like, did I ever watch one of their like news articles or something? Because they always come up. And I'm like, okay, but I still pray for Tampa and all of that, you know? And this is what came up the other day. Now, the person that posted this, they said that they call it a space jellyfish, and they said it formed following a rocket launch. Now, you gotta know, that's not a space jellyfish. That's somebody's interpretation of trying to put words to what they saw. Now, when you clearly look at this picture, I don't know about you, but I see an angel. And if you look, those of you who are facing me, if you look to your right, you can see like that little tip part on the right, you can see the head. And if you were able to zoom in on the picture, you will be able to see the full facial features. You will see eyes, nose, and mouth as it's flying like this, looking down. But then if you were able to zoom in a little more, just where that little hump part is, like if you go all the way to the right where I said the head was, if you go back to the left just a little bit where you can see it kind of change, almost like where the garment looks like it's changing, if you zoom into that part at the top, you will see another face that looks like a lion. So what you are seeing there is a picture of at least two angels identified in the sky over Tampa. Now, in this season, I believe, and I heard Kat Kerr prophesy that angels will allow themselves to be captured on camera a little more to prove the reality of God. And when I heard her prophesy that, I was like, man, because she's very good at catching angels and hosts on camera. And she does whole teachings on it. And I was like, man, cool. And I noticed after she said that, I started catching them on camera. I was in my backyard again with the dog. And I see these angels. I'm like, oh, man, oh. So I wanted to show you that so that you can understand that there's angelic activity going on. There are multiple hosts of heaven. There are fighting angels. There are revelation angels, prosperity angels, atmosphere angels, all being released for you and to you to help you walk out purposes and destiny. And this is not a fantasy thing. This is spiritual reality. Hallelujah. But they are activated by your voice. They're activated by your voice. It's just like me trying to take Val's phone and say, hey, Siri. It won't work. I could say, hey, Siri, all day on Val's phone or anybody else with an iPhone, and Siri ain't listening. But if I take my phone and say, hey, Siri, it's going to say, uh-huh. So your hosts are activated by your voice. Hallelujah. Do you receive that? Let's thank the Lord for his word. Thank you, Jesus.